Thank you, Lord. You remember last week when I said, find where there is a river and leap in? I still feel that way this morning. But we're going to talk about something else. Hallelujah. I said, it's real. It's real. I know that it's real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk about another one that we call, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, that the words that we may use. And it's going to be wind and it's going to be fire. In Acts 2:2, it is stated, And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And in John 3:8, it says, the wind blows where there lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell from where it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Oh, aren't you thankful for that this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that there's power in the wind. Jesus explained that we cannot control the work of the Holy Spirit. He works in ways that we cannot predict or understand. Just as you didn't control your physical birth, you cannot control your spiritual birth. It is a gift from God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, like a wind, can be gentle as it blows, bringing refreshing coolness. The wind can be gentle, but it also can be strong, awesomely strong. Despite what we just said about the meekness and the gentleness of the Holy Spirit, there are times when the Holy Spirit can move in might and strength as well. The Holy Spirit can do mighty and powerful things on behalf of those that are His. Now, I'm going to talk to you a minute about the fire. The Holy Spirit can be powerful as well as gentle. So it doesn't pay to oppose Him. Tragic things have occurred to those who have tried doing those kind of things, that they want to oppose the mighty move of the Spirit of God. There are many symbols of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the oil, we talk about the dove, but we got to remember that symbols are not the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God's word presents yet another symbol of the Holy Spirit in Matthew 3:11. Here John the Baptist says, He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And when the Spirit descended on all the day of Pentecost, there was not only the sound of a wind, but also tongues of fire. Hallelujah. In Acts 2:3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Fire is used to illustrate some of the activity and power of God. And if you read in Hebrews 12:29, it says, for our God is a consuming fire. So fire is another symbol of the Holy Spirit. And there's many reasons why fire is an excellent type of the Holy Spirit. Fire can soften, be molded, be hammered, be pressed into shape. Fire can consume an item. It can purify. It's warm, it's light, or it cleanses. But always remember, the types of the Holy Spirit are not themselves the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one member of the Godhead of the Trinity. The third member of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, works is the work of God. Jesus said He would return to the Father and that He would send us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus and the ways of God as He moves in the heart of lives of many of believers. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit moves in a mighty and a marvelous ways to accomplish the purpose of God. And I've heard many stories told by Matt. You've heard Sister Steph tell how many stories about her car, and she just knew that it was the Spirit of God acting upon all those things, and that's why it was coming to pass for her. The Holy Spirit always, always reveals and promotes Jesus. Always. For the person who is truly baptized with the Holy Spirit, there is a greater and more glorious revelation and understanding of God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit also, it encourages us, it comforts us, and it strengthens us and it helps us. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things, a lot of names for the Holy Spirit, a lot. But I want to say to you this morning, I would desire that every one of us would be filled with the Holy Spirit. I would desire that. And I know that someday I'll see all that with all the people that's in here. And I know that people hunger and thirst for the Lord. They want the Lord to move upon. They want the Lord to hear them. They want the Lord to speak to them. And I know that's the desire of each and every one of us this morning. I pray that's your desire this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that when we pray to the mighty God, that He does hear us. That He does hear us. And I know that He answers us in many, many, many different ways. Hallelujah. Let's let the wind go this morning. Let the fire be in here this morning. Get the fire under your feet and move this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Find that river this morning and leap into it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we give you all the glory and all the praise, and we worship you, mighty God. We thank you, God, for who you are, Lord, and what you truly mean to us, Lord God. I pray today not one person leave here Hallelujah. The way they walked in this building. That God, thank you, when Jesus. They leave this building, that they'll sense your presence, Lord. Yes, they'll Lord. Sense how much you love them. Oh, God, we wait and we desire for you today, Lord. We pray, God, that each and every person in this building would be obedient to you this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
God will give you all the praise
and
all the glory. Let the Holy Ghost flow in this building this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be bold this morning. Be bold this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Turn with me to John chapter 6. Don't get out of that worship attitude, that praise attitude. But today you're going to have the word given to you. Again, great job that Sister Karen did. But I still know that many of us will walk out with many questions, many things that we're facing in our own personal life and our family lives. But I know that His Word is life. His Word is truth. His Word brings liberty, freedom, joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Word is the answer. John chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 5 and read through 14. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. Take note of that. as much as they wanted. Verse 12, so when they were filled, take note of that. They could get what they wanted, but they were filled. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. I'm going to preach a little bit this morning on faith lessons learned. We're going to take a look at the difference between Philip's faith, but we're also going to look at Andrew's faith. You can be seated together. Thank you, worship team. Oh, you're welcome, Pastor Tracy. It's about as bad as the 10 lepers. One left, come back. God is so good to us. We can sing them hymnals all we want to, but we must get it into our spirits. The attitude of the scriptures that we can learn from. These are world famous scriptures. You all heard the stories of the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, I've heard some say that when it all was said and done, that was only 5,000 men. But the women and children were also fed that were there that day and could come close to 100,000 people or more. Don't have scripture to back that up. That's just different theologians that guesstimate. But I know they could take what they wanted, all they wanted. Some had bigger appetites than others. Maybe it was more length of period of time between the time that they ate the last time and that day as Jesus set them down. We as human beings look into many different places for the answer. We look to many different people for the answers to our life's problems and our concerns. However, we find the answers that we think we want to hear more than find the right answer that God wants us to hear. So today we need to look at Philip's life and look at Andrew's life. What was their perception? I know one thing, that I believe that Andrew had the faith because he's the one who spoke up. Philip said, all we got is what I have right here on me, 200 denarii, which wasn't much money, which wouldn't buy much bread, even in that day. But understand, Philip was looking only at himself, at what he had on his person. Where Andrew was one that was looking by faith. He said, I've got a lad that has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, 2 small fish. Whose faith did Jesus honor? He looked towards Andrew's faith. Let's look at the simple faith and trust of Andrew and see the lessons that we can learn from the Lord and apply it or apply them to our lives today. Point number one, God can use you. He can use you. You don't have to have a great education, a great knowledge, as the world looks at it. But we do need to understand what the Word of God says. How many times did I read that before that phrase just jumped out? That the men could take as much as they wanted. You've heard me share time and time again about the way I look at how Jesus had to encourage his disciples. I mean, you got 12 disciples, 5 loaves. That's 5 twelves in each basket. 5 twelves isn't even a half of a loaf of bread. Now, be reminded, when they sat in groups of 50 men. So you take 12 and divide it into 5,000. And when Jesus sent his disciples, they turned around, what would be stunning? As I'm looking across the congregation today. I'd be scared to death to take that basket. Think about the fish. You got 2 small fish. Now I know Landon, he's a pretty good fisherman. He keeps forgetting to take his measuring and his weight gauge. So he can guesstimate on the size of his fish. Oh, that must have been a 3-pound catfish I caught. Okay. But when those disciples turned around and looked down in their basket and saw 5/12 of a loaf of bread in the basket, now 2 fish, 1/6 of a fish, who got the tail? Who got the head? Think about it. Not much of anything, but yet when God's involved in it, look out, devil, here we come. No matter what you're facing, if you have the faith of Andrew, believing and trusting that God's going to do it, when you turn and see the multitudes ahead of you, sitting down waiting on you to get there with the basket of fish, thinking of the words that Jesus just spoke, that the men could take what they wanted. And it was enough. More than enough, I might add. Because what they have left over, they had more than what they started with. God can use you because whatever you have on hand. In other words, he's able to just simply volunteers requested. If a man can pass the test of believing God, God can use what is on hand for his glory. God will use that man or that woman, that boy, that girl, the child. It doesn't matter age, doesn't matter length of time that you've been saved. What matters is how you believe God. We can trust him because he'll never let us down. I always think, no matter what service I'm in, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Against me. against you. Why? Because I believe God. He's more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I think or I can ask for. All of your talents and abilities are God's anyway. At the same time, all of your failures, all your weaknesses, all your shortcomings are His. God is able to give you the victory and the strength to accomplish what's needed. Andrew saw that a little lad had his sack lunch that he would be willing to give up. Philip just looked at what he had in his pocket, which wasn't much of all, which was probably less than what they could have bought. But I want to use again, I don't know why I'm using this so often, but 1 Corinthians 10:13. You do realize that temptation is not sin. Shake your little heads, yes. Temptation is not sin. Because Jesus himself was even tempted of the devil. But it says, yet without sin. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Again, God wants to get you through it, but God wants to get you over it and truly have the permanent victory over what your failures are. So it's easy to come to Christ and say, God, here I am. What is it that you want me to do? We can find a world that is starving spiritually. Just simply bring to God what you have and let Him do it. Because you know, you have many people in your pathway different than I'll ever confront or come across. We're all called to minister. We're all called children of God. Every congregation has what is needed to get the job done. Are you willing? Will you be obedient? We got a lot of tasks ahead. A lot of it's going to be for outreach. We have the county fair coming up. You say, that's just dumb. No, it gets us out there. We're get being able to pray more with people. Thank you for who volunteered to go out there. I've got motives when I go out. Yes, I'll sit, I'll hand out stuff, I'll tell people about Jesus Christ. I run into a lot of people. Some of the kids I went to school, well, they're not kids anymore. I asked for that one. I think it's funny to see their face when they realize I'm the pastor of the church. I doubt whether I was ever chosen less likely to succeed. But I think I've succeeded pretty good. I've been blessed. I always said I was going to retire by the age of 40. Pretty good when you think about where I'm at in ministry. I don't consider this a job. You've been a blessing. You are a blessing. But I love presenting myself to be the example. When you stop and think about it, barley loaves and two small fish don't seem to be a whole big lunch. But it fed 5,000 men, women and children included. Andrew saw that, presented it to Jesus. Jesus blessed it. She talked about Sister Step. I remember one of her stories about running to a revival somewhere, and she had to get there quickly, but there was no gas in the gas tank. More personal, we pastored a little church, Chippewa Road Church of God, in 90 and 91. I got the fine privilege of digging a 600-foot trench from the road back to the church building, having to put gas connected to the at the road. The first winter we were there, you know how long we went without gas in the propane tank? What was it, 3-4 months? I kept looking, I kept watching. We kept praying. It never ran out. It never run out. We never had to put the tank in. This was all done prior to the gas line being connected to the... Don't tell me God can't use simple faith. Believe me, that was trusting Him. The thing that you need to remember, another lesson that we can learn from Andrew is it doesn't take much when you involve the Holy Ghost into the picture. I say the Holy Ghost because He's here. Jesus said, if I go, I will send you a helper, another comforter. He's the one that's able to do the tricks of the trade, the miracles that we all long for. You just have to be willing to allow God to use it. You know what's so sad is that many of us hang on to those little things. You think of it as piddly, not worth anything. You think, well, there's someone better that can do that than me. No, God's chose you. God wants you. God gives you the ability. God gives you the wisdom. God provides. I thank God. October 6th. Is when we first organized. 22 years. Sometimes it's been hard and rough. One time Sister Linda said, here, you got the checkbook. She stopped writing checks. There wasn't no money in it. No wonder she gave it up so quickly. But understand, if God can use that small lad's small lunch, small fish, 5 barley loaves, he can use whatever he needs if you'll present it to him. Philip already had doubts. Man, all I got is this. Dr. Paul Cho said, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There is a crown you can win with it. The latter part of verse 13. The instructions. It says, therefore they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. And you know something? I bet you there's more than 2 fish tails in those 12 baskets of food. God's able to take out of thin air and recreate whatever's ailing you. We've had a couple miracles here. Sister Shag's one of them. Went in to fix a hole. They found no hole. Had to look to see whether there was another one that would take a different operation. Gee, that one was gone. Sister Carolyn, you got a miracle. Amen. In the name of Jesus. All things are possible. One thing that we got to remember is God can do nothing with you if you do not yield yourself to Him. Many of us clam up, don't want to. Many of us cross our proverbial arms and say, just like that rebellious kid, teenager. When you've been made to sit in a chair, I might be sitting, but inside I'm standing up. You may see me sitting, but I'm not sitting. I'm standing. Why can't we be that rebellious for God? Why can't we be that radical for our Lord and Savior who gave up Himself a sacrifice for all? What miracle is it that you want Him to do? We just have to have simple childlike faith and present ourselves. Yield what we have. If we're not careful, if we wait too long, I don't care how dried out that fish could have been, but sooner or later it's going to start stinking because that fish would rot. The barley loaves would just become rocks. You could use them as footballs. Let us not allow our talents, our abilities to sit down and rot. How must God feel about our nonchalant attitude? If you read in the 25th chapter of Matthew, I'm not going to read it, But verses 15 through 30, you can read it later, you'll see the parable about the talents. The first one had five talents, and he made five more. What was his reward? Ruler over many. The second one that had their owner gave him two talents. He made two more. He was also made ruler of many. Number three, the first talent was given to him, and he buried it. He didn't even bother to take it to the bank and earn interest. That's how lazy he was. But what was his punishment? Or what was his reward, I should say? He was cast into outer darkness. What a scary thought. Just because it didn't yield. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Three faith lessons that we can learn from Andrew's faith. God uses what he has to use. No matter what we think, how great it is, how good it is, God can use it. The second faith lesson, it doesn't matter how much you have, just so long as you are willing to allow God to have what you have. And lastly, if the fish aren't used, they will rot and begin to stink. The first and most important question that I can ask while you bow your heads, have you given your heart and life to Christ? Have you surrendered all that you have to Him, especially your failures, your shortcomings? But I know in this congregation we have a lot of talkers. They can find a perfect stranger and start a conversation. What a gift from God. If you use it to spread the good news that soon and very soon Jesus is coming back to take His church. Now's the best time to take care of the first step in God's process of life. Jesus said you must be born again. Jesus said that nowhere will you see sin in heaven, because He'll say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." You watching by live stream, maybe it's for you today. Have you truly, truly given it all to God? I know what it's like. Sometimes we like the feeling that we get with brushing with the world. God wants to get the world out of us. No longer are we in Egyptian bondage. How about it? You see, say, "Pastor, you're talking directly to me. You've read the book on my life." If it isn't working for you, why do you keep going back? It's important for each one of us to know for sure that there's nothing. But then the second question comes to mind is, what are you doing for the kingdom? I know when I stand before God and get my rewards, I will not hear, depart from me. But I also come to you as knowing that I won't hear. You didn't preach the word. You didn't teach the word. You didn't live the word. Because I try my best. Sometimes I feel like a failure. But I say, Lord, it's me again. I need some help. Yeah, I tried to do it myself. I thought about it. I thought too much about it. But here I am again, asking. Not begging, just asking. And yes, I stand in the gap for you as children of God. Believing and trusting that as you're obedient, as you surrender more and more to the kingdom work, to God's work, you say, I can't do a one-on-one evangelism. Sure you can. Find something common with them. Befriend them. I heard one minister testify that he went and visited an old man in a nursing home. The old gentleman had a great desire for baseball. Guess what they talked about? They talked about baseball. Made the man's day. 28 different times he went back to that man. But on the 29th time, he was able to lead him to the Lord. God is so good. He's right on time, God. Do you need special prayer? No matter what it is, God is able. God is able. In the name of Jesus. I know we got a dinner to go to. Easier said than done.